it what we found. It's a big sound in a small town. Far from the bright lights, they're making music every night. Hear what is all around. It's a big sound in a small town. It's a big sound in a small town. It's a big sound in a small town.
Hi, and welcome to Big Sound Small Town. I'm your host, Sandy Carlton, and this is a podcast about the lives and stories of the musicians, writers, artists, and their associates that have their roots in the small towns and communities across America. If you like what you hear, tell somebody. Enjoy.
Mary Sue's Blue Subaru Blues. My good friend Mary Sue went to CarMax and bought a Subaru. It was a very merry Subaru. Can you guess what color it was? Blue.
Oh, blue.
But then a bad thing happened. Ooh, it's terrible, so terrible.
I'm Katie Henderson, and I'm a folk musician, a singer-songwriter, and I am famous because I went to school with Sandy Carlton.
Oh, no. Famous by association?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's not much fame. I'm sorry, Katie. I wish I could have done better.
You're doing great. I love your podcast.
Thank you.
And I will say one thing. I'm very impressed with the fact, I don't know if it's conscious or not, but you seem to have a lot of women on.
And I go out of my way to...
There you go.
Thank you for noticing that.
Yeah.
It is a male-oriented world of music.
You recognize
that. And that being said, I don't know the reason that is. It has nothing to do with talent. I think that has everything to do with life in general, with a male-dominated society, and sometimes I think female artists get pushed to the side just because there's not enough room. So on my podcast, I have room. I have room for everybody. It's all music and it's all art, so I'm good with it. So thank you for noticing that.
You're welcome.
There are. It is also harder to find women artists than you think it is.
Well, you do a great job.
Thank you. Now, okay, you have an amazing array of songs.
Yep.
The art is an art form that you do with your songs. Yes, they're musical, but and it's not quite poetry, and it's storytelling, but it's just a different slant. Did you do that intentionally, or is that just the way it flows with you?
Well, it's pretty much the way it flows, but it's interesting that you would say that there's an art in it, because that's how I always made my living, as a visual artist. And Sandy, I was born with absolutely no musical talent. And I didn't really start playing or even writing songs until I was in my 30s. And my career was in visual arts. And once I started, everything kind of flowed, because I realized that it was all the same creative process, you know, it's the same. It's that creative impulse or disease, if you want to think of it that way.
Oh, it's a curse.
Yeah, sure. Can be a curse, you know. You know that.
Yes,
You've been there, haven't you?
It's a terrible curse. You reach an old age and you still can't escape it. That makes sense to me, because your songs are very visual.
Oh.
I guess you just applied that part to the words and music. I mean, it's almost like a painting.
Well, that's nice to know.
We'll take the Subaru song.
Uh-huh.
I see that Subaru in my mind as a painting.
With the flowers.
Yeah, I can see that, which is amazingly made that transfer from a visual, or from a song to a visual art. For me, you know, I listen to the song, but now I can see the picture. So I mean, I guess you covered both your worlds there. And I do believe that you say you got a late start at music.
I did.
Mm-hmm. You know that I tell people this all the time. Music is a craft, really, more than an art. Anyone can learn to play at an enjoyable level that suits their needs. Now, whether how high you want to go, really, I guess, depends on how much time you have to put into it. But it's more, I don't try to talk people away from music because they think it's hard to learn, or they can't learn it, or they have to have talent. Supposedly,
don't ever talk somebody, you know, out of it because they don't have talent.
Exactly.
That's the thing. I had no talent, but I just wanted to learn. I wanted to do it.
It's a craft. You can learn how to do it.
Let the lack of talent stop me.
Oh, now, I do talk people away from the music business because it's.
But life is long, Sandy.
It is. It is.
We hope it is, anyway.
Well, it's in our case. It has. We've been lucky enough to live a little while.
We have, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. And
see, I had no idea that you, even in school, you were already a musician.
I was.
Yeah.
I was a writer and a musician in school.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's been a part of my life, all my life. So I start you. Young, you start late,
yeah.
And we're in the same place. So, you know, there's no harm, no foul. And plus, you get to actually, you come at it at a more mature, level-headed look at it than, say, starting young.
I kind of feel like I'm just getting started, really.
That's good, though. That's great.
Yeah, I think I've been writing songs for about 15 years, and I've only been performing for 10 years. And I got a Facebook message, you know, one of those, your memories on Facebook.
Yeah.
It was 7 years ago, almost to the day, that David Childers invited me to open for the legendary Lenny Federal.
Yeah,
at the Coffee House.
Sure.
And 7 years ago, I had been playing, but I had been playing in farmers markets and, you know, places where nobody really pays much attention to you. And I sit down and...
Most of the places I played my whole life,
There's something kind of nice about having nobody really paying attention to you, but I sat down and I looked around and I realized everybody in that little coffee house was looking at me.
It was probably a listening room.
It was. He had developed that audience. I got through it. But from there on, I have had a lot of fun doing performances in various places.
So you enjoy performing?
I do. I do. I'm not intimidated, you know.
That's good.
I don't get stage fright. I don't get, you know, nervous or anything.
Well, that's good.
A little bit, but it's kind of amazing.
So do you enjoy that? Do you enjoy playing as much as you enjoy creating the work you play?
I guess.
Equally?
Yeah.
I would rather write. But, I mean, that being said, I played forever, but...
Yeah.
And it's part of it, but I guess I'm a writer first, musician second.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
But sometimes it's hard to tell that because I play a lot.
Yeah.
Whether I want to or not, kind of. So, okay. Do you remember writing your first song that you're doing now? I mean, do you remember how that came about?
Well, that Mary Sue's Blue Subaru Blues was one of the first songs I wrote.
And, I mean, okay, so you had learned to play before you wrote, right?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
All right, yeah. Okay, I need to...
But it took me a really long... I still don't play very well, Sandy. I can't do... I mean, I have this bluegrass mandolin, and I, you know, get up there on stage, and people think I'm going to play like Bill Monroe or Chris Thule or somebody, and no, I don't. I use it really as a guitar.
Nobody plays like
Chris Thule.
Everybody wants to play like Chris Thule, but nobody does.
I don't do leads. I just do rhythm, really.
But you're a singer-songwriter, so basically that is a tool to you.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. See, and you have a good voice. Did you always know that you had a voice?
I have been told that I have an average voice,
mm-hmm.
and I'll go with that. I think I'm somewhere in the continuum between Phoebe Buffay from Friends and Edith Piaf.
Smelly Cat, yeah. I don't know.
She was a
singer. She was a singer-songwriter also.
She was a singer-songwriter, yeah. But I learned in church.
Have you sang all your life?
Yeah, I have, but never, you know. I was going to say, since it's Thanksgiving, I wanted to thank a few people. And Clara Eady at St. Luke's Episcopal Church was my very first teacher, and she taught me to sing with joy.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, truthfully, that's I would tell you that's probably the best singing advice I've ever heard.
Thank you.
Sing with joy.
Sing with joy.
I have to remember that tomorrow night. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Sing with joy.
Yeah. It can be horrible sometimes, though. I don't know how to.
Well, I've kind of made a living of singing with a bad voice, so.
Well, yeah, you know, don't let it stop you.
Yeah. True. Bob Dylan changed my life as a child. I had a cousin who lived in New York and brought me a copy of The Free Will and Bob Dylan. And I realized that I didn't have to be a poet. I could be a singer-songwriter.
There you go.
So it works. So that was, okay. Now, do you have writing partners?
No. That song that I gave you as my Thanksgiving present to
right.
you, I'm going to let you be my partner on this song.
You're
going to be my co-writer also the music for it.
I'll do the music for it. Right. Okay. That's pretty neat. Now.
No, I haven't had a co-writer.
Well, that's a good thing, though. I think, okay, people are going to hit me over this. You know why you use a co-writer? There's two reasons. You're stuck. You know, you got a song and you just can't finish it up. So sometimes I call up my buddy Kevin and say, Kevin, I got this song and I can't fix it. Mm. And generally he'll fix it or he'll say, Sandy, that song idea just stinks, buddy. You better throw that out. Or, okay, so you're in the business, like I've been before, of needing to get your songs recorded.
Oh.
So, okay, Katie, I got this song. And, you know so-and-so who has a record contract, right? So I'll let you change a few words and make you a co-writer if you'll get that song to your buddy.
Oh.
You know? So that's how that works because...
Oh.
50% of something is better than 100% of nothing.
I get it.
You know, so that's the way it works a lot of times is it's a trade-off. And you become a co-writer out of necessity more or out of need more than artistic collaboration.
I think that's brilliant.
It is, kind of. I mean... There's a lot of that goes on and take Nashville these days.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's six writers on a song.
Yeah.
Now, you give me six writers, I'll write you anything in the world that you want. Now, how much do I feel a part of that song connected to it myself? Probably unless it's my idea for the song. Probably not much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm for co-writing, I think, and I think some people need co-writers. And you know, it's there is an art to co-writing.
I guess I've never really had the opportunity.
Well, if you can write without one, I would write without one.
Well, I'll tell you how I do it in a nutshell. Usually something will pop into my head.
Yeah.
And just an idea, maybe the first line. And so I'll work on the words, and then when I get stuck, then I'll work on the music. Then if I get stuck with the music, I'll go. And I just go back and forth. So in a way, I guess I'm kind of co-writing with myself.
Yeah, kind of.
But I'm not very good with melodies, I don't think. And I'm terrible at doing intros, extras, and bridges.
Well, you really, as a songwriter, you really don't have to be concerned with that. I mean, basically, if you're going to have someone record it, you're going to have a musician to do that part for you. So you're just the... I mean, a lot of songwriters that I know aren't very good players. They just use that as the medium to get their words out in a lyrical fashion,
right,
know, in a musical.
I guess that's kind of what I'm doing.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's how so many people do it. Mine is so varied. Mine comes, I have sit and worked at it as a craft, for X number of hours a day. I have let it come to me. I have gone through blocks,
How long? What's the longest block you've ever been through that you knew you were in a block?
Maybe a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
But I've been writing since I was like 12, so.
Yeah.
But, and then sometimes they come to me in a block. I mean, I'll have. It's like a creative waterfall, and it just is flowing, and then all of a sudden it'll turn off, and it won't start again. But then when it does, usually I can get three or four, and have ideas. Even if I don't finish them, I have tons of started songs.
Right.
And sometimes I have to do that to keep up with all the ideas I get. Sometimes I get them, I have pieces here and pieces there. And the ones I don't get through, I guess I'll call poetry. I don't know. But so you had no music training?
Oh, I took 5 years of piano at gunpoint.
Oh, I did the same. And
you don't appreciate it when you're young.
You don't.
Oh, gosh. And I'm glad I had it, but I know.
I am too. I mean, usually what I did rather really than read the, I do know how to read music, but as a child, I just memorized the songs.
Yeah, sure.
And played them, you know, rather than read the music.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a long time to overcome. When I decided that, hey, I need to learn to actually read music to go farther. I probably at that point wished I'd learned it, paid more attention at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But it worked. It works out. And so many musicians I know are clueless about music or music theory or.
Well, in the folk music world, it's almost frowned upon if you can read music, you know.
It is.
You go to a jam session and you pull out sheet music and then everybody looks at you like, well, what is going on with this person?
If you've ever been to Nashville, they use a number system,
which is different.
You know, they chart it totally different than reading. And for the most part, you don't get a lot of chances to once you learn to read music, there's not a lot of opportunities to read it. I mean, when I depict fiddle tunes, sometimes if I'll find the music, I can figure it out quicker probably than I can listening to it sometimes. But for the most part, it's like so many things I've learned in my life. It's a good thing to know, but I don't use it, you know. I mean, I have a lot of stuff I've learned in my life that I can't use. worthless information going through my mind. But so you learn this craft though. Let's talk about Swannanoa Gathering.
Oh yes, let's talk about that. It's been on hiatus for a couple of years. I went to the very first one. 1991, I think, was the year. And then I went for a number of years, and then I didn't go for a while, and then I started going back. And for the last 3 years, I've been logistics coordinator, which is basically getting up really early, taking a nap in the middle of the day, and then staying up really late.
Oh, that sounds like my life every day.
I have to set up, sometimes I'd set up 200 chairs three times a day, but it was worth it. They are going to have the regular gathering. The 2 years ago, because of COVID, they canceled it entirely. Mm-hmm. Last year, they did it entirely online and didn't even really call it an official Swannanoa gathering. This year, Warren Wilson, they are going to go forward with it. So I'm
relieved. Do you go up like for the folk week? Is that what you go for?
I'm up there all 5 weeks.
All 5 weeks.
Because I'm working.
Right.
I'm on the staff.
Oh, okay.
And that's amazing. It has grown so much. It started out with the old-time week. Old-time music and dance, which was wonderful.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited that it's going on this year, and I just hope nothing happens to get it derailed.
I've gone to the fiddle part several
Have
times.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh.
So.
Oh, God, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
I love the traditional music, and I tell you, Celtic and Guitar Week are pretty intense.
I know that they are. Okay, I have a story, since we're going to talk about
Celtic. Want to know a gathering story?
No, about Celtic music.
Oh, Celtic story, okay.
My family is Irish, and I started playing violin at a pretty early age. Well, I have uncles, great uncles, I guess they were, who were everything you think of Irish people. They were drunks, fighters, and fiddlers. And I was scared to death of these guys. But they told me that using some profanity that I needed to learn Irish fiddle tunes instead of classical music.
Cool.
I was scared of them, so.
You did it.
I did it. And it served me well over the years. I busked for a while when I was going to college, different places, you know, and I've done that It worked, but to this day, I cannot stand Irish music. I don't even. I like Van Morrison. That's as close to Irish music.
Yeah, I love Van Morrison.
But it's all because of Irish fiddle tunes.
I could go to
Celtic Week there and probably fiddle up a storm.
Wow.
But it would just be a misery. I learned after that. I took mine to old-time fiddling.
Uh-huh.
I used to go to Tommy Gerald's house, if you know who Tommy Gerald
is.
Yes,
absolutely.
I used to go to his house.
My God, Sandy.
Tommy, yeah, but I was there late on Tommy. Tommy was drunk most of the times I was there, and his intonation was never really good, but the drunker and older he got, the worse it was, you know. However, there's a whole school of... fiddlers, old time fiddlers.
They copy him, yeah.
Yeah, they want to play flat,
just like Tommy Gerald.
Flat and out of tune, yeah. But Tommy was a gracious guy, and I learned a lot from Tommy.
I am so impressed.
Yeah. It was just a fun thing.
I love the old time the best, and my favorite thing really. I mean, I can just sit for hours and play old country gospel songs. I just, one of the people I would like to thank is Jenny Hawker. She was my teacher at Swannanoa the first year, and for many years after. She's not there anymore, but she's still teaching, I think, at Augusta. But Jenny Hawker really taught me to love the old country gospel songs.
Yeah, that's you know how.
And the Southern harmony, too.
You know about shape note singing?
I can't do that. I don't understand how that's supposed to be helpful. I mean, that's just like, what? I'm supposed to sing a triangle? I admire people who can do it, but you.
Laura Businger.
Oh, my God, I love Laura.
She's the shape note queen.
Oh, she's got a beautiful voice.
Yeah.
She's doing the podcast on WNCW, too.
Yeah. He's done this podcast too. Joe Kendrick, who has that podcast.
Okay.
Joe's a great guy. He's a program director at WNCW.
Right, and, that's my radio station I listen to all the time.
Yeah, Joe's a good guy. I've known Joe pretty good while. He's got a good podcast too. I've been on his podcast too. So,
really?
Yeah.
Cool.
I was on the Green Acres segment. I don't know if you know about Green Acres, but it was a music venue in Rutherford County that is pretty famous.
Okay.
And I had both been there as a fan, seeing shows there and also playing on there. So I saw it from both sides. So part of the podcast, I told about being on both sides of it.
Oh,
it was fun either way, you know, basically. So, yeah, WNCW is a great radio station.
We're lucky to have it.
Yeah, we really are. So what's ahead for you?
What's ahead?
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to have to try to do some recording, and I don't really like doing that. That's the other thing I talked to you about a little bit. I've got some stuff. I don't care if it's professional quality or, you know, anything. I'm not going to put it up on. I've got actually a bunch of songs on SoundCloud that I did with Richard and Robert Meyer at Gaston College. They have a pretty cool program.
They do have one down there. Yeah,
Have you brought any people from there?
I haven't. I have actually. Over the years, I played at their radio station though several times.
Yeah. It's a neat station.
It is a neat station. That's a good station too.
But anyway, I've got to get some of this down. You know, because I can't write music, so I have to be able to sing it and play it. And I like performing, and I like doing being the opening act a lot.
Yeah,
and that's fun.
I always like being opening act. You get to
You
either get to listen to the person that you're opening for, or you get to go home early.
That's right.
You know? So either way,
and you get paid.
Yeah, and either way, it's great.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so opening is good. So you are going to play some shows?
I hope, starting in the spring, the last live performance I did was at the Hickory Farmers Market, and I love playing farmers markets. But I didn't, you know, it was real crowded, and everybody was wearing a mask, and I just didn't feel comfortable. But hopefully this will all be over, you know, when the warm weather gets here. Yeah. We can just make it through the winter and not get sick.
Well, I have not had it. I feel fortunate not to have it. Hopefully I can continue not to get it. So, what else we need to know?
Oh, I know. I want to thank Barry Howard. Now, his daughter, Diane, is the managing editor of the Shelby Star.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so Uncle Barry really gave me such a boost because he let me play with his band, the Vagabonds, and taught me so much. Barry was the kind of person, he knew all the chords, he knew how to do all the harmonies. You could say, you know, you'd start out a song in G, say, oh, let's modulate up to A or something.
Right.
And Barry, he'd be right there, you know.
Right.
But he also helped me make a little money because Barry was really good at getting paying engagements. And he's not really my uncle. I've always heard him called Uncle Barry, so I call him Uncle Barry.
Right.
He's Trey Suttle's uncle.
Oh, yeah, I know Trey.
With. Yeah. But anyway, I'd like to thank him. And there's just so many people who've helped me along the way, you know, encouraged me. And Sandy, you're one of them, and I thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to do this.
You're probably the only person in Shelby, in Lincoln, who knows what a podcast is.
Nah. Hey, listen, you got to come to Lincoln. You would not believe how that place has blossomed in the last couple of years.
I understand the downtown is nice. And that
it is jumping.
You have craft breweries and, you know.
That's the sound. Put us on the map, dude.
Well, craft breweries are great for a city, a town.
I haven't even been in there.
It's, I never get to Lincoln. I probably need to. Actually, I am coming to Lincoln to do a series of podcasts in the coming year. I've done them in Gaston and Rutherford and Morganton area. So Lincoln is on there. I've got a list of guests already lined up. So after the first of the year, I am going to come to Lincoln.
All right. I'll count on it.
All right. I appreciate you taking the time to do this.
It's my pleasure, Sandy.
Thank you.
Okay, this next one is Timothy's song, and this is also a true story. And this is about my friend Timothy. And this is just so full of good advice for everybody. You don't keep your promises. I don't either, I confess. But you have high consciousness, even though your life's a mess. I'm sorry you broke up with your girlfriend again. Her loving touch. maybe she will take you back. If you fake a heart attack, no way, that's a bad idea. She'd just leave you lying there. Sometimes you have to be the one to bend. Oh yeah, don't ever be ashamed to make amends. Oh no, I recommend you take a stand. Let her know you're still her man. Apologize for what you've done. I know you didn't do anything. And take her out to have some fun. Life doesn't have to be so sleeping sad. Oh no, just concentrate on all the happy times you've had. Oh yeah, then go crawling back to her with your tail between your legs. You can do it. All women appreciate a man who begs. So true. Okay, so I figure right about now a lot of people are doing the same thing that I'm doing, which is cleaning out your refrigerator to make room for all the Thanksgiving leftovers. So this song is called Should I Do It Now or Do It Later, also known as the Refrigerator Song or my Klezmer Song. Goes in there too. Should I do it now or do it later? Clean out my refrigerator, yeah. I think I will. Half a pizza on the shelf. Yummy, think I'll help myself. Better toss that year old thing. Turkey leg still looks good to me. Something old and something new. Something bored and something blue. Sort of sticky like Elmer's glue. Oh yeah. That old barbecue. You never know what you will find. Why, I just found a friend of mine. He's stuck in the back, I guess. He can help clean up this mess. Now I'm liking these adventures. I just found my grandpa's interest. Carpet sweeper, that's a keeper. Paintings done in various medias. Set of world book and cyclopedia. Cheese I still taste. Should I do it now or do it later? Clean out my refrigerator. This is how the world goes round. What once was lost, now is found. If you think it's gone for good, check your icebox. Don't you think you should? What's in your refrigerator?